Now I want to speak to you for some few minutes concerning the eternal purposes of God. So you're coming close to winding up. But I want to go to John chapter 1, the eternal purposes of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he goes on to say, he was in the beginning. In other words, this is not something existing. This is a person. And as in the new covenant, we know him as being Jesus, the Son of God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. In other words, every single person. But now with the choices, people start choosing darkness and they go away from the eternal purposes of God. He was in the world and the world was made through him and the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. But as many, can we say it together? But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Say, I'm born of God. Hallelujah. If you're a believer in Christ, you're born of God. And the Word became flesh. We talk about this during Christmas. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the only glory of the only begotten, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Okay, go back there. He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 16, please. And of his fullness. Can we say that? And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. I like it from the Amplified Classic Version, but we'll continue. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Can we continue verse 18, please? All right, they don't have it. Let me read it from verse 18. Oh, it's there. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who's in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. This is the story about Jesus. We see him from the beginning, Genesis, and to the end. He is forever the Lord God Almighty. The world is changing rapidly, going away from God. But I'm telling you, the truth shall never change. In Acts chapter 15, verse 18 says, known to God from eternity are all of his works. And in Isaiah 57, 15 says, God inhabits eternity. God does not dwell in time. God inhabits eternity. Can I have some men over here? You handsome looking men, from six of you are here. Now, let me illustrate something for a few minutes. These are all handsome looking men. Come on, I thought you were going to respond. Yeah. All right, let's spread a little bit all the way to this side. Come close. Come close over here. And then can I have Elder Francis? And can I have David? You stand behind there, please. All right, you ready for some illustration? Think about this. You stand behind, not too far away, but yeah, you stay with him, close to him. Now think about close to David, Ella Francis. Now think about this. This is in the realm of time. Should be a straight line, guys. This is in the realm of time, as we know it. It's in the realm of time. But God is not in time. God is outside of time. He lives in the realm of eternity. He inhabits eternity. He's the eternal one. We find that among many scriptures. But in Isaiah 57, verse 15 says, I inhabit eternity. But listen to this. So he's there with his son. What about the Holy Spirit? He's the one at work. Don't worry about that. We believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now look at this then. So let's say like this is, for illustration purpose, this is imperfect. But this is Genesis 1:1. All right? And we come down, there's so many things happen between Genesis and 1 to the time of the cross. Jesus Christ was born about 2,000 years ago. But think about this, this Abrahamic covenant. There's so many things with the floods and all that. It's in the realm of time. But now here comes the cross about 2,000 years ago. Is that clear? All right. Now think about this. After the cross, we come probably, let me put this way. This is 1973. Everyone has a story. But I have mine. Because I was born in 1973. I'm about to turn 52, and I'm thankful to God. Amen. I was born, but listen to this. The fact he was crucified 2,000 years ago, I came much later. If I hadn't received the Lord, I received the Lord in 1996. If I had not received the Lord, though salvation was available, if I could have died without having accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, I could have been separated from the Father forever. Now let's think about this. The Son comes, come over here, please. Like we've just read there in John chapter 1, he came into time. And to us, a child is born, a son is given. He came into the realm of time, but he was the eternal one. He lived on earth for about 33 years, and he died, he was crucified, he was raised from the dead, and for 40 days he walked on earth, and then he ascended back to the Father. Right over there. He came into the realm of time and went back into eternity. You say, I don't see that. It's believed. It's accepted as the truth. Now think about this. So I give my life to Christ. Now think about, I give my life to Christ here. In 1906, close to 2,000 years ago, after the fact has taken place. So that means, how are we saved? According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Can we have it there, please? How are we saved? For by grace, you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is a gift of God. In other words, the gift is there. It's been made available. But you have to receive it by faith. Though it happened about 2,000 years ago, faith can reach out, backward, so to speak, in time, and take that which was made available 2,000 years ago and manifest to your life now. Faith knows no distance, knows no time. Because faith is on the eternal one. He is not in the realm of time. He exists in the realm of eternity. So you can, by faith, take which is available, which is made available. If you're a believer in Christ, you can take that which is available. He was crucified on the cross. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that I've been dead to sins might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed, and take it into your now. But that's not the end of the story. If faith can go back there, don't you think it can go forward? That's the hope of the church. That's the hope of eternity. Now think about this. One of these days, he's going to appear. And the church, we call it the rapture. We'll be caught away and go into eternity forever and ever. I won't go there. You know, my illustration is imperfect. But I hope you're seeing this. And we see like Revelation chapter 21, it talks about the new heaven and the new earth. Listen to this. If faith can reach out into the past and make it a reality now, as a believer in Christ, you can expect days of heaven on earth. In other words, I can tell you, I can give you so much hope in this. I can tell you, I look at you in the future, and you look much better than you do right now. Hallelujah. Right now. Faith takes by faith, takes what has been made available in the past and makes it manifest now. The same faith in the eternal one can reach out to the future. The Lord spoke to me in 2021, in May 2021, and he spoke to me in this manner, that the powers of the age to come. It's a manifestation. Let me tell you something. The church will never be insignificant. Crazy people like Hitler came and left. When do you return it without God? But I'm telling you, the church is still here. It's going to be significant. One government after another will pass away, but the eternal one will never pass away. Or with this government, there will ever be increase. Increase is a government of our Lord. Therefore, having said all that, I want to encourage you as a believer that you're looking at the future, thinking like, what is the future like? Have faith in God. Your future is glorious. Amen. Stay in him. Stay firm in him. Worship him as our Lord. Serve him. Your future is glorious. As I've told you that, even the Bible talks about it, the days of heaven on earth. I'm telling you, we are about to be caught into the glorious heaven. Hallelujah. I look forward to that. Glorious heaven. That our bodies, we no longer have these bodies. That's in your future. Let me tell you something. If the enemy tries to discourage you, tell him, I know my future. And another thing is this, I know your future too. I know where your future lies. It's in the lake of fire forever and ever. But I know my future is in the glory of God forever and ever. Hallelujah. So I'm telling you, you may be facing persecution today. Don't be discouraged. Take hope. That is the whole Christmas story. He stepped into time to redeem you and me. He stepped into time to set us free. He stepped into time to make us whole and strong. Hallelujah. So, your glorious future is not limited by time. Your glorious future is not limited by time. Many times we tell believers, and I'm going to ask even in a moment here, we tell non-believers, you can receive your salvation now. Yes, that's true. By doing what? By believing in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ and confessing him with your mouth. That's true. You're going back in time. But did you know that you can experience glorious days right now? Right now. So this is the hope of Christmas. This is the redemption story. This is the spirit of Christmas. That all you can do is rejoice, 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 for your future is great in God. Hallelujah. What about you who's never received Jesus Christ? Your time of salvation is now. Every single person who rejects salvation, there's no purgatory. If you reject the Son of God, that means you have no access to the Father. The moment you die, you'll be thrown into eternal separation from God. Don't postpone. Don't procrastinate. The Bible says clearly that the time of salvation is now. In fact, it says in Acts chapter 10, 42, when Apostle Peter was sent to speak to the first Gentile to receive the Lord, that was called Cornelius, and he says this, the Passion Translation says this, Jesus ordered us to preach. In other words, I'm under the commander's order to preach, and warn the people that God had appointed him to be the judge of the living and the dead. And then he goes on to say, and not only us, but all the prophets agree in their writings that everyone who believes in him receives complete forgiveness of sins through the power of his name. I've gone to preach in prison many times. An amazing thing, church, when they receive the Lord Jesus Christ and start renewing their minds, it doesn't matter what they have done in the past. There is so much joy, actually, among prisoners than some who are outside the prison. Really. I've had those men shouting. I've gone mostly in the men's prison, shouting and rejoicing because of the power of redemption. That you don't have to fear concerning your tomorrow. You can tell the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to come into my heart.